Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep, where is he? And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No. I'll talk to D-Rose.
Yeah, guys.
Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Left side three. Remy.
Got it!
Levine, turnaround jumper up. Get it! Onions! Baby onions! Put him in the Hall of Fame.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. The place to do that, 331-979-1369. Your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Back with another episode. Very excited to talk to you guys today. Got a lot of Bulls stuff to get into. Got some NBA draft news and notes as well. But first and foremost, Matt, how are you, man?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Doing well. Looking forward to the next month or so. You know, it's crazy that we're now... It took us a really long time, but we are almost to the 1 month mark between now and the NBA draft, which I believe is now firmly planted at November 16th. There were some thoughts early on when they first pushed it back from its October date to November 16th that they might have to push it back again. But now that the league has successfully completed the Orlando bubble and the playoffs, it looks like November 16th is the date that they are going to stick with. And we've even gotten some updates recently from both Shams and Brian Windhorst on the schedule leading up to the draft and protocols for this particular draft class. So, yeah, I guess you could say we're finally getting close to figuring out what the Bulls are going to do to add to this young roster and the first addition to the roster under new management.
Matt, as I kind of dove back into the NBA draft stuff with the Bulls, kind of took a step away for a month and a half in terms of, like, there's nothing new to talk about. We can talk about these prospects, but I also am in the mindset that I don't want to act to our listeners, the people that are listening to this show right now, I don't want to act to you guys like I'm some type of expert on any of these prospects out there. I can watch film for 5-10 hours and give you my opinion on them, but there's a lot of people that have a lot better ideas about what these prospects are going to be in the NBA. But just taking a back and looking, diving right back into the NBA draft, I was coming across a lot of players the Bulls have had communications with that don't seemingly find themselves in the top five or the top eight of this overall draft class. I was curious if that made you start to think if there are moves on the horizon for AK, or if he's just doing his due diligence and this front office was just doing their due diligence over the last several months, because now they got 10 in-person visits that they're allowed with prospects, and I think they're going to use those wisely.
Yeah, and it's interesting to think that maybe some of those 10 that each team is being allotted as far as individual meetings with draft prospects, or in-person, I should say, that you could see the Bulls use a couple of those on maybe some second round targets, because we do know the Bulls have a second round draft pick at their disposal. And AK has proven that he can find quality players in that part of the draft. Certainly more so than anything that the previous regime proved. Although at this point, Daniel Gafford at least looks like a usable front court bench piece as a second round steal. But we also know about the propensity of the previous regime to sell off second-round picks, to trade off second-round picks, and not put that much value in them. So some of these names that you've heard connected to the Bulls, as far as the names that they have at least spoken with or conducted these Zoom meetings with as part of this weird version of the draft combine we have, you could be looking at AK trying to find his diamond in the rough with that second round pick.
After taking more of a look at this, Matt, I'm fully convinced the Bulls are going to do everything in their power to try to move down. I really am.
Yeah, well, that too.
I'm very convinced that the Bulls are going to look for any way possible to do sort of what OKC did the last couple of years is you've got a bunch of these assets around. You're in a better position than where you thought you were going to be, at least in AK and Mark Eversley's mind. They went from 7-4, have a little bit more to play with there. And if they feel like there's one or two assets on this team that they can get, they can oversell to another team, I think they're going to do it, man. So here is the list of players that the Bulls have already communicated with in the past. Killian Hayes, guard from France. RJ Hampton, who is one of those guys. He was a top 15 recruit coming out of high school and decided to opt and go and play in New Zealand. He's somebody that I want to circle back to, Matt. But Terrell Terry from Stanford. I believe that's Jason Terry's son. Trey Jones from Duke. Zeke Najee from Arizona, Jalen Smith from Maryland, and Daniel Arturo from Minnesota. They also had contact way back in May and early June with Paul Reed from DePaul, too, but Paul Reed has soared up draft boards. I thought he'd be a guy that they might take a look at in the second round, but he may not even be available at 44. So there's a quick rundown of all the players that the Bulls have had previous communication with and leading us up to these 10 unique in-person visits with prospects that the Bulls are going to have. Matt, right off the top, I thought the Bulls are going to schedule meetings with Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, and Obi Toppin. Those are the three dudes that didn't show up to the NBA Combine and decided to opt out. That tells me that AK and Mark Eversley, even if they have an inkling of wanting to draft either one of these dudes, that they're going to want to meet them in person and get a better sense and a better feel for them, because they didn't get to talk to them at all because they decided to opt out of the combine. And take it with what you will, what you got out of the combine this year. I didn't get a whole lot of any of those interviews, but those are the three of the guys that were at the top of my mind that they would use their 10 drafts in-person visits on: Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman, Obi Toppin.
Yeah, but to me, that's kind of a weird route. And again, I am putting all of my trust behind this new front office and hoping that for a while, at least the fan base can have faith in this new front office to make the best basketball decisions moving forward. But when it comes to who they want to meet with and those names you just listed, to me, Obi Toppin is the only one who might be there at number four. I know some people have talked about Wiseman kind of sliding down draft boards recently, you know, when people talk about his awkward college experience and a very small sample size and the fact that he may not project to be a very useful piece the way that the modern NBA is trending, but he's still a top shelf, you know, blue chip big, and people still draft those guys. For all the talk about small ball basketball, people still draft those guys. Also, look at what Anthony Davis just did. Bigs are still useful in the NBA. Look at the season Bam Adebayo just had. Bigs are still useful in the NBA. So that and Anthony Edwards, like, I still think that he and Wiseman are going to go top three. And maybe we will, you know, maybe I'll be proven wrong on that. But I think of those trio, Toppin's the only one who might be there, and I'm not all that excited about the Bulls, the idea of the Bulls adding Toppin, just based on his age, among other things. So, I mean, if they want to meet with those guys because they think that, you know, one of them might fall to number four and they want to be prepared, okay. But to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Get back to the Obi Toppin conversation, because I do want to ask you a couple other questions, and I guess starting to think about it, before we talk about any other players of those 10 in-person visits that the Bulls might use it on, let's talk philosophy. Like, what is the strategy and what do you want to get most out of these 10 in-person visits, and how will that impact the guys that you do choose to use these interviews on? We'll get to that in a second, but first, I want to remind our listeners about our fantastic sponsor in RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com has been a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is also brought to you by Built Go. You guys have heard Jordan and I talking about these amazing, healthy, and delicious protein bars from Built Bar, who have been a great sponsor of the Locked On Bulls podcast and the Locked On Network over the last several months. And this is the latest product from the folks at Built Bar, the energy gel from the same group that brought us the world's fastest growing protein bar. Break through your wall with Built Go. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go every day. Built Go protein gels come in easy to take 1.5 ounce packages. You can put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever, your golf bag to power through the back nine, or just put it in your pocket to get through the day whenever you need that extra boost. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's like 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. And it comes in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. I've tried them all. I love them all. You might wonder, how does Built Go work so well? Well, it combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast, plus it's easy on my stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite your workout: beta-alanine, B3, honey, and just a tiny kick of caffeine. Built Go then kicks to keep me going strong with B6 and B12, including 10,000% of your daily percentage of B12. Collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and healthy skin. This stuff literally makes you look better in addition to giving you energy. And here is our offer to our listeners right now. Visit builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED to get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com.
We've had some boots to asses and we'll continue to have that.
Jonathan Wasserman just put this tweet out today, Matt. Said at about 10 o'clock this morning, asking around the NBA feels like Obi Toppin may be the most popular prospect in this draft. Take that with what you will. Take that with a grain of salt if you want. But it's not surprising, considering that of some of the negatives we talked about with Obi Toppin, a lot of teams will take the chance on a guy being pretty much ready to go and be able to impact a team that might be on the cusp of a run, or a team looking to add one or two other young pieces and really start to take a look seriously at winning. Obi Toppin, I think, can be that guy. For other teams, though, like at the top of the lottery, they're still way behind and, you know, going to be 3-4 years away from actually talking about competing. He may not fit their timeline, but I can understand, and even going back and watching some of the highlights from the last 4 weeks that they played before their shutdown, can understand why people are excited about him. I don't know. I don't see really the fit for the Bulls at 4. Now, if we're talking the Bulls moving down to the later, maybe to 7, to 8, or even to 11, if he gets that far, then we can actually have the conversation about Toppin, his age, and how that fits with the Bulls. But at 4, I think that's kind of a gamble for the Bulls.
Yeah, and to me, it's about what AK and Eversley are trying to accomplish here, because we know that AK built a team in Denver through the draft, or helped Connelly build that team through the draft. And Eversley, for as long as he's been with Philly, they have similarly built their team through the draft, at least when it comes to their core pieces. You know, they've done other things around the fringe, you know, whether it be Tobias Harris or the Jimmy Butler experiment last year, or J.J. Redick. But, like, you know, Simmons and Embiid, their core pieces through the draft. So when it comes to Obi Toppin, a player like that who is a multi-year college player who's coming in with their game already pretty much formed, coming in, you know, not 18 or 19 years of age, but 22, 23, do AK and Eversley see him as what you were just alluding to, which is a plug-and-play, ready-to-go piece who knows what their game is, who knows what their strengths are, and can already compete at the NBA level without needing to worry about, you know, he's still wet behind the ears, you need to develop. and see that as a piece that they could say, hey, we're trying to turn this around quickly, you know, retool, not rebuild. What we already have enough pieces that we're worried about, quote unquote, developing in Lowry, in Kobe, in Wendell. Let's just add a piece that we know what they are. Or are they going to say, we still prefer to draft and develop pieces that we can mold into our vision for this basketball organization moving forward? That's going to be the question when it comes to a player like Toppin.
I'm with you on that. And the real question is if they're, you know, I think that there's more conversation to be had around Obi Toppin if the Bulls do decide to have an in-person visit with him. I think he's one of those guys that they'll have an in-person visit with. You might be right on James Wiseman and Anthony Edwards. They might just decide to pass if they get a sense over the next couple of weeks that the Bulls aren't moving up and those guys aren't getting past three. So what's the point of wasting one of those interviews on those guys? At the same time, though, if you're still leaving your mind open and you're still leaving the possibility open that you're willing to trade up, if you find a deal with either of those three teams, then maybe you do need to do your due diligence and have an interview with those either of those guys. So again, it goes back to strategy and how AK and Eversley are going to want to use these 10 in-person drafts or in-person interviews. This is way down from what the NBA combine slash the lead up to the NBA draft has allowed previously. So this is going to be putting teams in a unique spot to pick and choose guys and be very careful about who they pick and choose and who they want to interview and get the most out of those interviews. So if we're talking strategy, Matt, here, you have 10 of these interviews to hand out. You've talked with what, two guys in the top 10 so far? If you feel that you've already gone through the tape and you have a good sense for some guys, what do you think AK and Eversley want to get out of these in-person interviews the most? Is it developing a relationship and getting prospects to like them, getting a better understanding of their personality, who they are, how they tick in person? Or is there something else that I'm missing? What are the things that AK and Eversley are going to want to get out of these interviews? Because you only got 10.
Right. I mean, obviously, I think there are multiple goals that they want to accomplish with each interview with each player. And there are probably some little specific things that differ between those individual players. But overarchingly, I think it's getting to know more about their game, getting to know more about who they are as a person. And to me, like, you know, the greatest separator that they are going to try to figure out is what can we learn about this player that we could not learn just by watching the tape. Given that whether, you know, they were a college player in a shortened NCAA college season this past season, or an international prospect whose tape may be a little bit harder to come by, there are certain elements of, well, this is something that we can't learn just by watching game film. And like, you know, we've heard AK allude to that a little bit. We've even heard Donovan talk about that since coming on board as the new head coach, as far as their impressions of the Bulls roster from last year, which is, well, you know, what I know from having watched film. But there are other elements to this, which is why, you know, it seemed like the Bulls' new front office got a lot out of this Bulls mini camp that we just saw them do a couple of weeks ago to really get to know these guys on a personal level. So I think that is probably the most likely answer, is what can they find out about these potential draft picks as far as their personality and the persona attached to the basketball player that they wouldn't necessarily know by watching them, you know, watching their game film, or even having a two-dimensional like Zoom call, which, you know, we've mentioned they've already done with some of these players. There's something different that you can learn about somebody by interacting with them in person.
I'm with you on that. And so I think maybe it's more so, okay, we know the skill set that this guy has. We love the skill set, but we need to know who the person is. We need to know more about his personality, what makes him tick, and how he will mesh with this team going forward. I think it's very difficult to learn a lot about a guy, like you were saying, over a Zoom call, whether it be asking him a question about leadership or skills or things outside of his life. It's hard to kind of tap that in and give personal connection when these guys are having conversations with these young players. It's already tough enough as it is for the player. Think about it, sitting in a conference room or your living room or wherever, having these conversations with two executives and possibly Billy Donovan if he's part of these meetings as well. It's very, very intimidating for a lot of these players. But I think AK and Mark Eversley sound like they have some empathy in them. They have good personal relationships and know how to build those skills. So something that's going to be to the Bulls' advantage is getting these guys with prospects and actually letting them see each other face to face and talking with these guys face to face. The thing that interested me about the list that the Bulls had communicated with previously already, Matt, is a lot of these guys, man, are going mid-teens, back into the first round, or second round picks. I know that they shouldn't throw huge flares in the air, but it did last night as I started to do the research a little bit more. I started to look at the draft and some mock drafts and where these guys were getting pegged and placed. RJ Hampton, I kept circling back to him. I kept circling back to him because he's going anywhere between the range of 8 to 15. And I'm like, okay, that's interesting. There's a couple other guys there that the Bulls have talked with that go in that range. There's also a lot of guys between 18 and 22, or guys that would be taken at the back end of the first round. We can talk a little bit about this on tomorrow's episode, Matt, but I think there's three or four teams that the Bulls might be circling around and having maybe preliminary engagement with on trade talks, or at least thinking about the idea of trade talks with these teams because of the guys that the Bulls are interviewing and where they end up slotting at. I could be completely wrong, and maybe AK and Eversley use all 10 of these in-person interviews on guys that are in the top 10, and this was just to do their due diligence all across the draft. But man, as I started to do some more of the research, I'm like, I think AK and Mark Eversley are looking to make a deal and looking to move down, and I think they're starting to circle around three or four teams that they feel that might be the best fit to make a trade with.
Yeah, I think that's still a very likely scenario. And as I've said several times, and I think you're on board as well, it's a scenario that I would be more than okay to see the Bulls use. Because whereas there is perhaps some people saying, like, come on, man, like the Bulls finally got lucky. They finally broke the curse of 7 and we move up to number 4 and you don't want to actually use that, you know, that top tier lottery pick. To me, that's not necessarily a correct way to phrase it and to look at it, because you can use that number 4 pick by using its allure, using its the unnamed quality of a pick that high. And yes, I still believe that applies in a class widely considered like this one to be a weaker draft class. It doesn't matter. We always see people get hyped up for drafts, classes, and for lottery picks in the NBA. Those numbers that don't have players' names attached to them yet are somehow, in many ways, more valuable than established players themselves. It's, you know, it's the Peter and Family Guy. You can either take this free, you know, ski boat, or you can take the mystery box. And Peter's like, well, a boat's a boat, but the mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat. And Lois is like, well, then let's just take the boat. And Peter's like, we'll take the box. And it turns out to be like, you know, two crummy tickets to like a bad comedy club. But it's the allure of the mystery box. That is what top tier lottery picks are in the NBA class, NBA draft, regardless of the notion that it's a weak class. So AK and Eversley can't use that. And I believe it was my chat with Shinowski last Friday saying, you know, you could always dupe the New York Knicks into thinking that they have this great person that they want to trade up for. To me, that is a great possible outcome for the Bulls here. Yes, it's a weak draft class. You have a number 4 pick in a weak draft class. People always talk themselves into, we got to go get this player. So yeah, trade down and collect yourself an extra asset or two. I think that is the best way for the Bulls to use the number 4 pick.
It's funny that you brought up the Knicks too, because I did forget about the Mark Shinowski comment about the Knicks too. Matt, they were the first team that I came across in terms of like lining up who the Bulls talked with where they're slotted in terms of draft range and the teams that are picking in that range. The Knicks popped up first for me. I was like, holy shit. I was like, this makes a lot of sense. If the Bulls are looking to move number four plus maybe one of the assets on their team, the Knicks make a lot of sense. They've got the number 8 pick in this draft. They've got the number 27 pick in this draft. And they have a second round number 38 overall pick in this draft. The Bulls have interviewed a lot of guys already. In the dozen that they've talked with and had communication with are going in that range. Immediately, though, I thought the Knicks would want Zach LaVine, the number 4 pick. And that's the package you're trading to the Knicks. Number 4 in Zach LaVine is going to cost you, though. It's going to cost the Knicks a lot. So that's where I have an initial trade offer slash here's what the Knicks would be interested in. This is why they would want to move up to number 4. And this is who the Bulls would have to give up. High interest in Zach LaVine, high interest in moving up into the top 4, especially how you think about how badly screwed the Knicks got in this lottery, on top of just not having very good luck in the lottery overall the past couple of years. That number 4 pick would help bolster and, I guess, identify a guy that they would want, not waste a year of rebuilding the way that they had. And also, too, I think about it in a sense of, if the Knicks strike out in talking with 2 or 3 other teams about guys like Victor Oladipo, these borderline stars that they could try and build their team around, if they strike out on that, they might be turning their signals to Zach LaVine. And the Bulls have a lot of possibilities to make a deal with the Knicks. They were one of 6 teams that I had pulled initially and thinking, okay, all these guys the Bulls are interviewing, talking with, having communications, it leaves the door open to trade with team A, B, C, D, and E, and the Knicks were team A for me.
I mean, I think it's likely the most logical. You can maybe also mention Detroit, who's just kind of stuck on the no man's land part of the lottery, and their future with Blake Griffin seems pretty wishy-washy, and I think they might be looking to move on and find themselves a younger star future of the franchise. So I've heard some talk with Detroit as well as a team that might be looking to try to trade up in this draft. But to me, it's like, you know, is there a team that is that desperate? And again, I think that every year there is a team that is that desperate to try to make something, make a move, do something. And the Knicks still, and I agree with you, are the most likely candidate because they always have for years tried to do something to come up with the fact that they keep striking out. They're striking out in free agency and they're striking out in the lottery. You know, they were the laughingstock of the league last offseason for a bunch of free agent signings that all played the same position. RJ Barrett had a fairly underwhelming rookie season, and James Dolan is desperate. They are more of a laughingstock than the Bulls now, easily, considering the Bulls at least ousted some of the people that were causing them to be such a laughingstock over the past year. So maybe the Knicks are that team that is so desperate to try to make some noise, make a swing of some kind that that they're willing to move up. But, you know, again, what would they be willing to sacrifice as far as future assets? Because if they are looking to be a team that's bad for the next several years to come still, do they want to be, you know, swapping out unprotected first-round picks for the sake of moving up in this week class and getting a borderline star like Zach? I don't know. I don't know if they're that desperate. But I do think that AK will absolutely explore all of those possibilities and not only with the Knicks, but with any team that's looking to move up. Because I think he is smart enough to know that their best bet to get the most out of this draft is by trading down.
I think AK and Eversley know that too. Quickly, I'll let this stir in the minds of Bulls fans, and you guys can send us your trade offers, or if any of these teams intrigue you, and maybe in later in the week I can delve in a little bit more or on Twitter about why I chose these teams and what interest these teams might have in trading with the Bulls and why. And again, this is just if you're thinking about conversations that the front office are going to have over the next several weeks leading up to draft night, what are the teams that those conversations they would be having with? Who are those teams? And what is it going to surround? And I don't think all these teams I'm about to list are teams necessarily looking to trade for the Bulls' fourth overall pick? This could be in conjunction of the Bulls trying to get back into the first round, or also sell off a couple assets that they have on this team that are way too expensive, or feel that they can get, like you were talking about, Matt, future value. Future value. Not just thinking about this year and what's impacted this year, but future value and what you can get over the next several years. The Celtics were another one. They have the 14th, 26th, and 30th overall pick in the first round this year. Immediately off the top of my head, they would have interest in Zach LaVine, Wendell Carter Jr., and Otto Porter Jr. Those would be the three pieces that would make a whole lot of sense for the Celtics. The Nets have the 19th and the 55th overall pick. To me, what jumps out right away is the Nets would have interest in Zach LaVine. Oklahoma City, they have the number 25th overall draft pick this year. Thinking about a deal with OKC would bring up the conversations about dealing for Chris Paul. That could be a little bit more complicated of a discussion. Maybe OKC finds better offers from other teams desperate to add that one last star to your team, but Chris Paul's contract is horrible. Horrible. But he's got the Kobe White connection. Played for Billy Donovan in OKC, was a great mentor there, and his connections with Zach LaVine are also there as well. So that makes some sense too. And I also pulled the Heat at number 20. They've got the 20th overall pick in this year's draft. I know Goran Dragic is a free agent, and maybe we can talk about him down the line, but man, he was really impressive in the bubble, man, and I think he could have a huge impact on this Bulls team. So he was somebody that I thought about the Bulls targeting this offseason. But again, it leads to other moves need to be made. They need to deal out some of their money in order to get a guy like that. But maybe you can come up with a sign and trade with the Heat that would make sense. And again, the Heat would be interested in, once again, your best asset in Zach LaVine. So it kind of all circles back to, are you willing to deal Zach LaVine, and what's the best you can get in return for him?
Dude, I would just love to see that, because I would love to see the reaction of the fan base. And I'm talking about your proposal of a Bulls Heat trade of some kind. Just to see Bulls Twitter fucking burn. Which is, oh my God, the Bulls and Jimmy's Heat are having a trade. How are we going to lose this one? It's going to be awful. It would just create complete and utter chaos. And I would just sit there with a bucket of popcorn the whole time. I would love it.
Maybe we got to stir the pot then. Maybe we got to come up with some deals where we have some discussions, or maybe we can hit up our guys at Locked On Heat and see if they want to have any preliminary discussions heading into the offseason about a possible trade for LaVine. If things like Giannis aren't in their plans, or Victor Oladipo or Bradley Beal, whoever they're mocking with their fake jerseys on Twitter today. Matt, did you see my update to our Bulls goals list of players that I think the Bulls are going to surround themselves with for the next couple of years?
Yeah, the update had Ben Simmons in there, and who was the other one?
The update had Ben Simmons and Bradley Beal added to the list. So it's Bradley Beal, Anthony Davis, Ben Simmons, LaMelo Ball, Joakim Noah, and then you're keeping all four core pieces of the Bulls around. So could happen. It could happen.
Yeah, it could happen.
I just love the fact that people are mocking up Bulls jerseys.
Just like Bulls fans getting over Derrick Rose could happen. Just like Bulls fans getting over Jimmy Butler could happen.
Oh, don't worry. Derrick Rose will be showing up in a future update before all said is done. all things are said and done here in this offseason. But it's so fun. Like, I'm glad we're on this opposite side of things now, where we're getting people on the daily just mocking up random stars in the NBA, putting Bulls jerseys on. And it's like, hey, you know what? It's not just a complete and utter joke anymore. Like, this could potentially happen now. Anything can happen with a brand new front office. Just nice to be on the opposite side of things for once.
Yep. I mean, what else do Bulls fans have right now? I'm gonna put Giannis in a Bulls jersey and share it on Twitter. I'm gonna put Anthony Davis in a Bulls jersey and share it on Twitter. That just tells you how tough the first 3 years of this rebuild have been.
But you can tell how excited people are too.
I'm still thinking optimistically, but not in that regard.
By the end of it, we're going to have all 15 guys be like the top 15 players in the league in Bulls uniforms. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, if you got any thoughts about these teams that I listed off, or anybody that you guys are thinking of taking a look at the people that the Bulls have communicated with over the last several weeks, months, And if you guys have trade offers, things that have been burning on your mind, hit us up at 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails. Anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
I think we won the first two quarters.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com